Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is astrology Shelley Antine speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, the 28th of July, and ending on Sunday, the 3rd of August. Well, there is this week no lunar event because we're coming off the Leo new moon. We start the week couple of days in the first quarter of the lunar phase, and we will pop into the second quarter when we get to the weekend, Friday. And that actually, it's interesting because we pop into the second quarter when we pop into August. And also this week, Chiron retrogrades, and that's on Wednesday. And on the same day, but very late in the evening, Eastern Daylight Time, we have Venus changing from that mental realm of Gemini into the water realm of Cancer. And we will be talking about that first, because I like to put these things first these days. And so Venus is in her more familiar mommy, caring, nurturing phase. That's, people have a tendency, as I tell you all the time, to think that Venus should be showing itself in certain ways. And one of the great keys to looking at the relationship issues between people, and I do that with readings, you know, this synastry that compares both charts, and there's a composite that puts midpoints between the two charts, and you get to see a lot that way. People who have different Venus expectations are sometimes unable to see love when it's being given to them because it's not the way they do it or the way the archetypes do it. So here in Cancer, you're in archetype land, and so Venus is going to be very sentimental in Cancer. She's going to be very focused on the family and the home and the need to feel secure, and so she will be definitely nurturing, and she will value all of these things, a coziness, this Cancer, you know, lots of fluffy pillows. And Cancers are collectors also often. So she may be getting into some collecting during this time. Anything that makes the energy feel around her that she's safe and secure. So the Venus energy, when it's in Cancer, is very, again, you know, nurturing. And yet, it is the crab, so the shell is on. And you will have to really work at it with the Venus in Cancer to get inside the shell. Once you are, if you're trustworthy, or she thinks you're trustworthy or whatever, it depends, you know, what that Venus energy is doing internally, then you will be treated as family also. And that's one of the few signs that will actually do that. But Venus in Cancer is also easily wounded. You know, sometimes taking things far too much personally and misinterpreting things. And then what happens is the big shutdown. As nurturing as she was, that's how gone she is, you know. And so that is a typical experience. So we're looking at this. Again, food is going to be very important. Certain types of food, certain foods you love, wanting to show love in meals or at mealtime. And the area of the body that Venus is involved with is the breasts, and these are the stomach region or the midriff of the body. So, you know, if you're spending money, if you're really spending lots of money, it would be beautifying the breasts, which women sometimes think they must do. And so there's augmentations or, you know, removing some of the overabundant breasts. But this is also a time to look for the lingerie items that would be relating to bras or tops, that any kind of top, but something that is sometimes, and it's just, and in the summer, especially, you know, the midriff look may come in for a little while, that you're exposing your midriff area. And so, of course, the bathing suits and two pieces would be popular for the actual bra effect of the top. So, Venus in Cancer and spending on home and also in the home, the bedroom and the kitchen. And Cancer gets two places where I have to go to be safe to sleep and, you know, to feel cushions on my bed with my pillows and such. And, of course, where I cook, you know, where I make food. So money will be spent on items or decorating for these areas. And maybe also money will be spent on family members. This would be a time where the budget would stretch for having people over, particularly close friends and family, for barbecues, you know, the kind of outdoor events and sentimental events, birthdays and anniversaries and things like that. Venus and Cancer will be focused there. So it's interesting, this particular Venus transit doesn't have her making many aspects. The moon will make aspects to Venus, and so, you know, you will have aspects for her, but the first thing she does after she gets into Cancer is make the squares to Saturn retrograde in Aries and then Neptune retrograde in Aries. So both of those are going to happen on August 1st when the Saturn is at 9:43 a.m. And Venus square Saturn is another archetype. You know, in this particular combo, this needing to feel, you know, loved and safe and emotionally secure, Venus is dealing with a cold person that's more selfish focus in Aries. So this is a difficult moment, and that comes, you know, on Tuesday morning, very early morning, 5:04 a.m. And it's interesting that it's while, I'm looking at the moon in Libra. Just cancel that. I'm not going to re-record this. That's the moon. The moon's doing that in Libra. But on the first day of August, it is 9:34 a.m. for Venus to square Saturn. And then it goes all the way down to 4:49 p.m. for Venus to square Neptune. Again, both retrograde in Aries. And that's her major effort at making her own aspects. It's always different, you know, it's never the same. Sky is always different. So that's what you can look at, is her being, you know, feeling rejected and being upset about it. And, you know, again, that show will go very much hard and non-admitting. and you might not see that Venus in Cancer for a while. That's the funny thing about them. They'll always like kind of come around again, which if you feel like accepting it, you do. And then you find out that they'll do that again also. Most unusually bizarre things that can also feel like hurts to the Venus in Cancer. Venus square Neptune, retrograde, is, you know, now it's like, I may not be seeing this very clearly. Now I'm looking elsewhere for my feelings of safety, and yet I'm not sure that's a really reliable person. I'm a little confused about the motives and the actions here. So again, withdrawing Venus in Cancer will close down, shut down shop. And so that's all on the 1st of August. And then she kind of floats on through with the, again, lunar energy. You know, the moon in Capricorn will oppose her. And if the moon in Libra were coming, but it's over by the time she goes in, that would be another problem for her. But moon in Aries will be a problem in a square. But, you know, she's having a kind of an interesting ride. Gets to do a lot of this without interference and just gliding along there, or, you know, feeling and not having too much to deal with. So she'll go into Leo on the 26th of August at 12:27 in the afternoon, and that's a whole different thing. You know, we're going to get the drama and the fire there for Venus also, lots more. So, okay, we've said it. And now we'll look at Monday. And, I'll mention Chiron retrograde. The only reason I'm doing that is because it is in Aries still, and we've got those transits that are going to, you know, really, once they get going, you know, after their retrograde direct brings them back, Saturn and Neptune are going to be also in Aries. So it's kind of like, yes, we're going to be really looking at this sign. And Chiron brings up wounds, right? But it also brings up teaching. And I've said this many times, is that we're trying to learn a new way of power and courage. And, you know, we've, you know, traditionally, historically, like how far back can you go? Quite a way, that we have thought that the way we, you know, deal with stuff is to go to war. And right now, I would say there are so many countries, and there's a new country battle going on in the east. I think it was Cambodia and another country that they're going to be in that forever war now. We used to have shorter ones. But now, you know, nobody lets go of it, and it just keeps going. So maybe that's what has to happen before people realize that the only people who are benefiting from that are the people who make the weapons, you know, and everybody else is suffering. So maybe that will be the teaching. And the retrograde energy for Chiron is when we can go in to examine all of this, you know. Individually, and I just mentioned how Venus and Cancer can get, individually we think that also. We think that if there's a disagreement between us, then we have to argue. You know, and argue is like a little war that is just neither one allowing the other to be their individual self, which is Aries. So this is a great teaching coming in now, you know, and certainly the division that has been, you know, really created for us and fueled and continues to be pumped, is something that many people in the United States for sure fell right in. It was like boom, into the war, and people that you knew were no longer viable, because if they could think this, they were totally unacceptable. And arguments and fights and try to convince, and it never works, does it? So there is a lesson there of people's individual path. And, you know, again, just as sometimes things have to happen in the world that we don't like before we can get to the things we want to see, because something has to come up and get exposed, and, you know, the wave has to move fully to the shore and disappear, you know, before we can see something else. Well, the same is true in our own feelings internally with ourselves and others. So maybe not buying into that. When we look at the retrograde, we'll see a little bit more about how we can coexist with others, allowing them to have the path that they have to have. Even if it looks, you know, really weird to us, ours looks really weird to them, we're all on one, and it's all perfect, no matter how terrible or wonderful or in between or mediocre it may be. It is the path you're on. So that's to the Chiron retrograde, and that's going to last a long time. You won't need to know about that for months and months. So Monday, the 28th, the moon is in Virgo, and it is making a conjunction to Mars, speaking about people, allowing people to be themselves. This is going to be a tricky time for that. Actually, all of Monday is, because 2:43 p.m. is when the Mars is exact now. The positive way to use that energy is, okay, both Mars and the Moon have definite ideas about getting something to happen. They want to get something done. Of course, Mercury is retrograde, so there could be irritations and difficulties in, you know, getting things done. But if you are working on something together, either at home or work, you know, or in whatever part of your life you are looking at getting some things organized, you can make a lot happen with the addition of the planet of activity and movement. However, if you're not on the same page, or you're looking at somebody else with emotional energies of the moon coming into it, then there could be, you know, a mini war. Maybe not a maxi war, but a mini one. Lots of criticism. And, you know, that can be pretty sharp when you add Mars to it. So be aware of that. And then Venus will square, the moon will square Venus in Gemini. And 8:57 p.m. is when that comes in. So this is a, you know, again, Virgo wants it a certain way because this is how it feels right, again, to the individual. And Venus in Gemini is, you know, like a lovely little flittering butterfly, and has lots of ideas and lots of suggestions, and it's irritating. That's all. And that's all the moon can say. What a waste of time. But anyway, it's not as edgy with Venus, but, you know, there can be a lot of criticism. Also, an interesting thing, I don't always tell you this, but when the moon squares Venus with, you know, signs like Gemini and Virgo involved, it's a time of gossip. Yes, and gossip is considered a negative thing, even though the indulgence in gossip is, like a part of life. We don't necessarily look at it, and we have all kinds of stuff going online and social media that has this in it, this quality. So there might be a big fest of gossip going on while the moon is squaring Venus until 8:57 p.m. on Monday. We have a lot of gossip in the news. Oh, yeah. And some things are being seen that weren't seen. So we have to gossip about it. All right. So the moon is void of course at 8:57 p.m. because that's the last aspect for Virgo moon. So the fest may go on without interruption. And then the moon enters Libra on Tuesday at 1:43 a.m. So we have those early morning aspects like I was looking at, and, Venus rules Libra, so it was in my head. Moon opposition. Saturn is the first difficult one. That comes in at 5:04 a.m. Now, if you're awake on the West Coast, you probably get to experience the moon's trine to Uranus and Gemini. And that comes in at 3:21 a.m., which would be about 12:30 p.m. or a.m., sorry, 30 a.m. Boy, this Mercury retrograde's been so much fun. And that would be like a wow awakening of ideas about laws, about relationships, about contractual agreements, about decorating and beauty and the arts. So you can, I'm hoping I don't experience it on the East Coast, except maybe in my dreams. But then comes the opposition to Saturn at 5:04 a.m. and then the opposition to Neptune at 5:39 a.m. And so if you're thinking, awake, and somewhere in the world, like in the UK, you would be having 10 a.m., there are difficulties. Again, Libra wants relating. Libra wants harmony. Libra wants balance. And Aries is not interested in that, really. I want to do it my way. And so either there's the obstacle of Saturn or the confusion and deception of Neptune. But the moon in Libra will trine retrograde Pluto in Aquarius at 6:35 a.m. And this can be a time when we are reviewing things about how we want things to look, what we've experienced as transformations in some way in relationships or in groups and friendships. So, but it's a positive flow. So you're gaining something by doing the review, something positive. And then we get the moon sextile to the sun in Leo until 3:17 p.m. So that's a very good time to interact with others. Have meetings, have lunch. And you could, if you're still on vacation, you can have a lot of fun under that in entertainment. Both Leo and Libra are interested in the entertainment. And then after that, discussions will be fairly okay, probably going over, again, old ground because it's the moon in Libra sextile retrograde Mercury in Leo until 10:12 p.m. Maybe there's something about the kids that you've already discussed, but you need to discuss it again, or just a creative project that you began before the retrograde that you can go back to now and, put some nice Libra touches on it. Then Libra Moon squares Jupiter in Cancer until 11:59 p.m. And here you have all of that intellect of Libra getting sort of drowned by the expanded feelings and sensitivities of Jupiter in Cancer. Okay, moving into Wednesday with a void of course moon in Libra for the whole day and into the morning of Thursday, which is when the moon will enter Scorpio at 1:25 p.m. Eastern. So Libra, once she gets past the square to Jupiter in Cancer, she can balance out a little on Wednesday. And that is the day that we spoke about at the beginning of this podcast, because that's 10:42 a.m. for the Chiron retrograde, 11:57 p.m. for Venus enters Cancer. Now, the first thing that happens for Venus from a moon is from that Scorpio moon on Thursday, and it is a trine. Very lovely flow of energy until 2:52 p.m. So it is a little over an hour and a half of that energy. And so that is a very nice time if you're having a lunch plan. That will feel good. If you're looking at what shared resources might want to do involving home and family, that's, you know, there's going to be agreement. So that's a good time to do it. But we know the moon in Scorpio is going to have that unconscious need to be in control. So we'll find out what happens later when the moon in Scorpio squares retrograde Pluto, ruler of Scorpio, in Aquarius until 6:20 p.m. So this is a kind of a uncomfortable time. And it can have something to do with something that happened. And the moon doesn't feel in control of it. So that can bring up unconscious behaviors. I wouldn't take this day, if you're in the Eastern time zone, to have a dinner because of that. But this is 6:20 p.m. Eastern time. It's only 3:20 in Pacific time. So gauge yourself between that. And that's also true for the moon trine Venus. You know, 2:52 p.m. is here in the East Coast, but you'll be, I think it's like 11:52, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't do math in my head very well. 3 hours earlier. Yes, 11:52. So this is, again, you can have an easier time in the morning. And, you know, here's the lunchtime. The sun is joining Mercury retrograde at 7:41 p.m. That's coming in all day. And you know what that means? I'll tell you what it means, because it's important to know with the moon square Pluto. Identity with what I think. You know, whoever said that, I think, therefore I am, which is like, okay, that had to be a person with the Sun-Mercury conjunction. And in Leo, really importantly big. You know, this is me, my self-expression, and I am right about it. Just remember that. That's like in the air. And we can all partake of that lovely, lovely but very uncomfortable to others, Sun Mercury. And that means that Mercury is also, and it has been going into what we call Kizimi. I don't know why. It's such a funny thing to keep a name like that. But it is combust, is more, you know, kind of meaningful in English. which means it's way too close to the sun. And this is literally exactly at the sun. So, you know, Mercury's not in the sky for this week. You probably won't see it. And also, it will be completely impossible to see on Thursday. And, you know, it's with the sun. You can't see anything. You know, in the day, you don't see the stars. They're there, right? But sunlight prevails. So we're not thinking very clearly either. We're like stuck in some drama, self-drama. And the moon in Scorpio is going square Mercury. Yeah, so yeah, that's not a good time to get into discussions with people. 6:56 a.m. is when the Scorpio moon finishes that square to Mercury, August 1st. And then the square to the sun, 8:41 a.m. So on a personality and in your life moment, this is going to be a showdown. Oh, and you know, the sun in Leo will think that it's the authority and that it will bear the weight with its own idea, but the moon in Scorpio doesn't think so, you know, and they will find their way, maybe not even knowing that they're doing it, to pop the bubble for the sun in Leo. And to top it all off, yeah, this is really going to be interesting. I wonder what's going to happen in the world. Well, we'll see. Venus in Cancer, square to Saturn, coming in that morning also, 9:34 a.m. And it's like a three-ring circus. And not a fun one. It's like you turned on one of your favorite, you know, detective mysteries. This is where all this stuff is happening. And then when the moon in Scorpio trines Jupiter until 1:25 p.m., we may figure out who the killer was. I think August 1st is an important day for calendar observation of a Celtic holiday called Lammas or Lunas. It really, for the Celts, Lammas is what the Catholic name of this is. It is in the Last Priestess series. We find out that this is the last harvest. Oh, I'm sorry, the first harvest. Where am I? That is the harvest of the grains. And I'm going to be doing a Substack post specifically on that. But I have in several different ways mentioned the fact that, yes, we've harvested many crops before this. And so calling it the first harvest is kind of peculiar, but that's not a name in the actual Celtic calendar. The thing about it is that while we're celebrating the sun, and this is one of the gods that we celebrate here, if we're celebrating Celtic stuff, I mean, the sun god. And this is where they did their Olympics. You know, they had people showing the strength and stuff like that. The grain harvest was coming in. And Ceres will get involved, goddess of grains, when the sun moves into Virgo. And this is still going on. Because Virgo is going to step in and make sure that we're preserving enough of the grains. And that was very important back in the day, and that's why it's such an important harvest, because all the things that we've been picking out of our gardens so far are perishable. You know, you've got refrigeration and freezing, so you can take those tomatoes and you can, you know, get them into something and into the freezer, but you know, they didn't have that. So you were basically eating all of the vegetables and the berries and all of those things. And so they wouldn't be there for you to go through the winter. But the grains would be. Oats and wheat and barley. All of those things would be preservable. and may, with a hunt, be a good idea. Maybe you can preserve some of the late vegetables or squash energy somehow, but not, you know, really, you might have had a lot of bread, a lot of bread and cheese, and maybe if you made enough jam. So that's why it's such a big deal on that level. But this is where we go into autumn. And they knew that. And because now we have two more, and the last harvest is the hops and the grapes. So that's, you know, kind of good for making alcohol. The main harvests will be over. So this is the slowdown. We can tell that the light is changing. We can tell by this point that the days are getting a little shorter. And we will be going into the darker part. And while we're doing that this year, we're going into the lighter part of the lunar phase. And so this is the moon square sun in its attribute of bringing us to the half moon, which is the second quarter phase. All right, so we're going to start amping up on that level that we want to move forward with these projects. And if they're projects that have already been in the works, you know, you're not putting in energy in vain. You're doing what you should be doing, gathering information, tools, making connections, getting things that you need to make a successful yield at the full moon. So now we're in. Once we get past that 8:41 a.m., we give it a little bit of a half moon day, but we're going into the second quarter phase. The moon is going to be moving on without aspect on the first, and going into the second, it will still be not quite there yet. That's Saturday, but this is going to be a good flow of time because we are moving towards a moon in Scorpio, sextile Mars in Virgo until 9:07 p.m. on Saturday. And that's when Scorpio moon goes void, of course. This is also then, when we look at getting past the early morning in the East Coast on Friday, we can move forward in that second quarter with some energy behind us to get things in order, you know. And again, while the Mercury is retrograde, you know, researching, not necessarily purchasing unless it's something you've already been looking at. You've already been researching before the retrograde came in. But you'll feel like, you know, any kind of mundane work that has to happen can happen, which is, you know, Scorpio likes that, and so does Virgo. Void, of course, Scorpio moon will shift into Sagittarius for the eastern coast on Sunday, the 3rd, at 2 a.m. And it will have its quick opposition to Uranus and Gemini until 3:59 a.m. So that would be, that's going to be an interesting thing because, you know, intuitive energy is Uranus and Gemini, you know, aha moments. Typically, Sagittarius loves that. But the problem is Sagittarius moon wants to put it into a philosophy or, you know, put it under an umbrella. So it may not be ready for that, you know, so that it's going to happen for that long transit of moon in Sagittarius when it comes up to that long transit of Uranus in Gemini. Right now we're in the short piece, so we'll get a little taste of what that looks like if we happen to be awake. And the moon will move into a trine to first Saturn at 5:08 a.m. and then Neptune at 5:55 a.m. And so they're allowing philosophical expanded perception to take place and make some sense out of what they're doing about trying to structure new ways to act and to maybe bring some more compassion, understanding, and spiritual energy into our actions and perhaps our motives as well. The moon will sextal retrograde Pluto in Aquarius until 6:46 a.m. So here again, if you're having a philosophical discussion, going back over, look what happened since the beginning of the year, Pluto and Aquarius, and look at all of this and all the AI and all of this and that. Yeah, there'll be a lot of discussion where there'll be, you know, it'll be interesting to both people. It will be agreeable. And it will continue that way as the moon trines retrograde Mercury in Leo until 4 p.m., although on Sunday, people are going to want to have a little fun and do something entertaining. And if the heat dome is off, I am in a heat dome right now in South Carolina. We had 112 feels-like temperature yesterday afternoon. I didn't know that. I walked out to get my mail and bring the garbage pail back in. And I thought to myself, I could bake. I could easily bake if I stand here too long. And then I found out I was in 112 degrees. So I know what that sort of feels like. I'm so glad that I have air conditioning. So if people are going out and being in active zone, because the weather is allowing that without giving you heat stroke in like 10 seconds, then go play. But, you know, there are ways to play indoors, I suppose. You go to museums, you can go to a movie, whatever. The harmony of the lights is coming in for us on Sunday. Begins to come in after 4 p.m. The moon in Sagittarius trine, the sun in Leo, which is very congenial. Oh, yes. If you're having it a later evening event, or if you're still in your event that was afternoonish, like a barbecue-y thing, which if you're in a heat dome is the last thing in the world you want to be doing a grill. Maybe you're inside, and so this is where everything's flowing perfectly and people just feel good. They feel good inside. And that is reflected outside. And that shrine will complete at 2:12 a.m. on Monday, August 4th. So thank you for going through all my little mistakes with me. And I am looking at what we're going to talk about next time, as we will be in the second quarter until the full moon in Aquarius arrives on Saturday the 9th. So that will definitely be in there. And before that happens, Mars finally gets out of Virgo. But it goes into Libra. And you know what they say about Mars and Libra? You will fight for peace, which is really an effort that is not going to be very successful. Don't fight for peace. Be peace. But anyway, 7:23 p.m. on Wednesday, you know, Mars rules Aries. That's the opposite sign for Libra. So it's not quite as congenial, but it will be very active because the air fuels the fire. Yes. So we'll have lots to talk about. And as we get into August, I feel I must tell you that in September, we get to have eclipse time again. So we are also in a retrograde cycle. You know, it's not as big as they have been. It's not as long as they have been. The planet, outer planets retrograde. And when they do it all at the same time, you know, it's kind of intense, but they're staggered a lot now because Uranus doesn't come into retrograde until early September. Pluto is going to leave retrograde, you know, and because it's been in retrograde since May, so it's not quite as intense. October, it'll be over. So it's kind of a staggered situation. But it's kind of, you know, for August, Mercury adds what Uranus is not having. So you have Mercury, Saturn, and Neptune, and Pluto all retrograde as we go into the second solar eclipse, which will be on the later one, the 21st of September at 29, right at the end of Virgo. And before that, we get the lunar eclipse on September 7th at 15, Pisces. So if you haven't had any look at your eclipses, the ones coming up for 2026, see when they start, because I think we will be in February, and it'll be early enough, and you'll see the first dip into our next lunar node pairing, because Aquarius is your first solar eclipse, and then we go back to the Virgo with the lunar eclipse in March, and then back to Pisces with a lunar eclipse in August, but the solar eclipse in August will be in Leo. So we're transitioning with these. So different signs, different things for different folks. And, you know, the shift of the outer planets, the eclipses. I don't know. If I were you, I'd get a reading. Anyway, I am going to say have a wonderful week and make the best of the knowledge of what these days are best for, and I'll say goodbye.